Our word for this morning comes from 2 Timothy. Paul says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. Please be seated. The Lord saves, the Lord reigns, and in all things the Lord will have the last say. And that is good news. Amen. Boy, it is really good to be here with you this morning. We had a wonderful day yesterday talking about religious liberty and also using those liberties to proclaim the eternal liberties of Jesus. This morning we'll proclaim those eternal liberties. It's good to be in Racine, Wisconsin. Now, I didn't know where I was. I was watching the TV. First of all, they gave me these things at dinner the other night, and I said, what are those? And they said, cheese. I said, but you cooked the cheese here? And boy, was it good. It was good. But I was watching on television, and they had that movie, you know, the League of Their Own. It was on this weekend. I didn't know. I love that movie. No crying in baseball. You know, I love that. And I didn't realize that's here. That's Racine. There is crying in baseball. I think the Yankees are crying today. There's crying in football too, but I won't talk about that today. Now, we have a message today. And it's wonderful to be in Racine to proclaim that message, but we proclaim it everywhere we go. And that message is that we, as people of God who believe in Jesus Christ, we can live fearless lives of faith no matter what is going on in the world in which we live. So I start off by asking you this question. Have you ever had that feeling in your life when you really weren't in control? I mean, you knew it. It was out of your grasp, you know, and when that kind of stuff happens, you know what I'm talking about. It's not a good feeling. I mean, it could be a relationship that's gone wrong. It could be a sudden illness, or it could just be life in general. I mean, life is tough. We all know that. But you thought you had it. You thought you had your arms wrapped around it, and then you realized you didn't have control of any of it. What then? What do you do then? And you know what happens to us all? It happens to us. That's the human condition, our brokenness, our sinfulness. We come to realize sooner or later, life is not even in our hands. You know, I remember when I really learned this, we had a Bible study in Wall Street back in New York City back in the day when I was a young pastor. And I was teaching that Bible study to some of the most powerful people in the world. By the way, it was on Tuesday mornings in New York downtown, which would have meant after Bible study, my people were at the towers when the planes hit. We used to have these Bible studies, and I remember I was in there. These are some of the most powerful people in the world. I mean, they're trading in millions and millions of dollars. They got everything. And I used to remember listening to them, and occasionally they'd be honest with me, and they'd say, Pastor, we know life is out of our control, and it scares us. Now, they're supposed to be the people that have everything, and yet they have the same thing you have. That feeling that there are times when even when they feel like they have it all right in front of them, there's something outside of their control. Out of control. At the mercy of something else or someone else, what do you do then? Well, that is what this text is all about. This text is all about when people realize who they are without God, then it says, but this is who you are with God. At that moment when you feel like your life's out of control, Paul is saying, if you're a Christian, you are in the powerful hands of Jesus, and he never lets his people down. Wow. I mean, life may be indeed out of our control, but when you know who Jesus Christ is, you're in the strong arms of a Savior who literally went to hell and back and said, nothing will ever have the last say in your life but me. You know, I know this is the month of Reformation. You know, we celebrate that. Is it next week? Yeah, that's right. I'll be in Sacramento next week talking to them about this stuff. But Reformation is where Luther realized that one, if you get reduced only to Jesus and all you got is Jesus, that's enough. And then after that, it'll be All Saints Day, the 1st of November, where we talk about the fearless lives of people's faith who actually live boldly their whole life in Jesus. Even now they're in Jesus' rest. So I want to remind you today that you can have the faith of Luther, the faith of Paul, the faith of the saints of this church, because Jesus is your Savior too. And you can say, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. God is in control, and He will have the last say in our lives. Now, you might be thinking, well, that sure sounds good. But Pastor, come on. I mean, the world's a tough, tough place. How can this be true? I mean, can Paul's message at the brink of his death, can that bless us today? I mean, can the proclamation that Jesus Christ is the crucified and risen one and that he's in control, can that actually assure us where we live today? Or how about this? Can the just knowing and trusting in him, is that the ultimate answer to my life? Well, what do you say? Yes. Absolutely yes. It's God's yes for your life. And this text is talking about hope in the middle of real struggle, hope in the middle of real trial, hope in the middle of real chaos in the world. Hope because Jesus Christ is in the middle of all of that with you and me. You know, sometimes life comes down to the simplest answers. It really does. And when you know those simple answers, it changes everything. I love the story that's told, the story by Ravi Zacharias. I don't know if you know who Ravi Zacharias. We were talking about India this morning. Well, Ravi Zacharias is from India, and he's a missionary now who actually travels the world. It's a great Bible. I love some of his teaching. But he told a story one time about a guy named Leighton Ford. You know who Leighton Ford is? Well, how about Billy Graham? Do you know who Billy Graham is? All right, well, he worked with Leighton Ford. Leighton Ford was his brother-in-law. They were both evangelists. And he talks about this event that Leighton Ford had when he was traveling. Now, when we get on the plane, and I travel a lot now, way more than I feel like I should, but, you know, when you get on there, there's always that moment when you're sitting down and you hope nobody sits in the middle seat. You know what I'm talking about? You're just like, oh, this could be the most great flight because then I can put my coat there. I can put my books there. I don't have to shove everything under the seat so I can't put my feet down there. I mean, you're just hoping and praying. Well, Leighton Ford traveled a lot, and he was having that same kind of thing. He's like, please, Lord, just I'm so tired. Just keep that seat open. Well, everybody gets on. Everybody gets on. The last person gets on. He's got the empty seat. Except right before they close the door, they bring this 96-year-old gal onto the plane, and guess whose seat she's going for? Right there. And he goes, ah. Well, then the flight attendant comes and says, well, our guest here today is a very special gal. She's 96 years old. Could you kind of, you know, help her if she needs any help while you're there? And Leighton Ford says, of course, I'll be happy to. So as they're getting all tucked in, and, you know, he just decides he's going to carry on a conversation, he says, the woman says that you're 96 years old. Wow, you must have seen a lot of things in your life, right? And she goes, yep. And then he said, well, you know, since you've lived all those years, I mean, it's been pretty exciting, right? Yep. To try to get more than a yep out of her, he said, well, let me ask you a question. I think you know a whole lot. You've seen a whole lot. What's the best thing you know? What's the best thing you know? And boy, that just lit her up. She said, well, the best thing I know is that I know Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ knows me. Whoa. He thought, that's a great answer. I mean, he's an evangelist, but he decided, you know, as we pastors tend to do, he decided to play the devil's advocate. You know, instead of just rejoicing in the answer, he said, well, Jesus Christ, knowing that's the best thing you know? What makes Jesus so special? And that lit her up. She suddenly said, Jesus Christ, oh my goodness, my Jesus made the sun, the moon, and the stars. He made everything. He is my Lord and my Savior. All things are secure in his hands. And if that weren't true, I wouldn't be sitting on this plane next to you. Whoa. Then he was so excited. He said, well, I love Jesus too. You know, I love him too. And he says, you know, I'm Leighton Ford, and I'm an evangelist. And I tell people about Jesus. I work with Billy Graham. Do you know who he is? Nope. But I know who the Lutheran Hour speaker. No, he didn't. She didn't say that. Nope. And, you know, he said, well, he's the guy, he's on television, he preaches on the gospel. Well, maybe, you know, he's on TV the night I'm out. But I know Jesus. Well, Leighton Ford told that story to Billy Graham, and Billy Graham got the biggest laugh out of it. He said, Leighton, isn't it amazing? Millions and millions of people don't know who we are, but they know who Jesus Christ is, and that's all that matters. Well, that's what you know. That's what I know. That's what Paul knows. He says, when you're reduced to nothing but Jesus, you have everything you need. I mean, think about it. You know the joy of Christmas. Aren't you glad Christmas comes every year? What would life be like if Christmas didn't come every year? Aren't you perplexed by Good Friday? What is Jesus hanging on a cross for? And what is that all about? And then aren't you joyful on Easter morning when you realize he did all this just for you and me so that we could have all of his life and salvation as a gift? Wow! There's nothing in the world like that. And when you have that, it transforms each and every day. I have fought the good fight. I have run the race of faith. I have kept that faith. Now there is in store even for me and for all of us the crown of righteousness. Why? Because Jesus Christ will have the last say in my life. And that's a good thing indeed. So a couple of things just in closing. Paul is proclaiming at the very moment of his death, when his life was in peril, he was saying, my life is sure. Isn't that an amazing statement? That's an amazing thing. And he uses this word. You know, it's funny. He talks about his death as a departure. And he uses a very specific word there. And it's what he's basically saying is death, even for the Christian, is nothing more than a portal to something else. Because Jesus Christ will have the last say. And he is the eternal one. He is the resurrected one. Because he lives, you will live also. And so he uses the word departure for his death. And that word in nautical terms was like when a boat was unmoored from the dock and it was sailing away. Now think about it. Sailing back in those days was a little bit dangerous, but it was exciting. I mean, it was fun to go on a trip. How many of you have ever been on one of those cruises? It's cool. Well, when the boat leaves the dock back in those days, people were a little bit nervous, but they were also on an adventure. Well, that's what he's talking about. He's saying, that's where I'm at. That my ship's being unmoored. It's kind of like when a guy, they also use that word when a prisoner was set free, or when a debt was paid, or when the ox had the yoke taken off. Departure. Because there's something new coming. And in this case, because Jesus is your Savior, that new thing is always good. Number two, he says, I'm ready to take on this departure. Now listen, Paul is not happy in his situation. He was in prison. He was actually right at the verge of his death. He's not saying, I'm happy with this. Who could be happy with that? But he's saying, I'm not afraid of it. I'm ready to face it because I know in all things I am in the Lord's hands. You know, there are things in life that kill and destroy. There are things in life that bring joy and make life worth living. And Paul is saying, you got to know which one is the most important thing. Jesus Christ, having faith in Jesus Christ, that's it. And finally, with faith in Jesus Christ, you can face each and every day boldly, fearlessly in his name. Not just for yourself, and that's a good thing, but fearlessly even for the sake of others. And that's what Paul is saying today. You know, Paul is saying in his life, not Nero. I mean, Nero was a very powerful guy. He's saying, Nero will not have the last say in my life. Persecutors will not have the last say in my life. Malicious gossips will not have the last say in my life. Jesus will have the last say in my life. And that's good news indeed. You know, several years ago, I lived in California. I live in D.C. now, Washington, D.C. I'll talk about that at Bible class. But I was in California, and California is a great place to live. I don't know if there are any of you from California here. It's a beautiful place. There's only two bad things. The earth moves occasionally. That's a joke. And it also burns. Have you ever been in the middle of a fire in California? They're incredible. I mean, they burn with a fury like I have never seen before, because it's everything's so dry there. I mean, it basically is a desert, you know. So one year, I was on a trip, and my wife said, "You got to come home." I said, "What's going on?" She said, "The fires, they're coming for our house." Now, have you ever had a call like that? The fires were burning. We lived kind of near this nature preserve, and for whatever reason, the fires had jumped into that preserve, and they were coming right for our homes, okay? So I jumped on a plane. I cut everything short. I got on there, and I remember flying into Orange County, and I'm looking, and the hills are all orange. They're orange and burning, and they're coming, and the winds, the Santa Ana winds were blowing, and so they were coming for the houses, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I have never seen anything like that. But when I got off the plane and I'm racing towards the house, I don't know what I'm going to do, turn the water hose on. I don't know, you know, I'm just going to go be with my wife and try to get my family out of there. I remember I'm driving down the freeway towards my house, and there are these firefighters, but they're doing this incredible thing. They're lighting fires. What in the world were they doing? What do they call that? Backfire. So they came close to our house, and they lit fires that they wanted to go right towards the fire. See, a backfire's job, what you do is you get close to the place you're trying to protect, and you start to burn all of the grass and trees and all that stuff, all the fuel for the fire. Because there are some fires water cannot put out. And so what you got to do is you got to get rid of the fuel of the fire. And so they were burning these. Why? Because they were trying to put a perimeter of protection around our houses, so that when that fire came raging right at our house, it would just go right around us and move on the other side, and we would be saved. Wow. I was just like, burn away. Burn away. Because the fire's coming. Well, what Jesus is teaching us in this text through Paul, he's saying there's a day coming when God will have the last say. He's going to have his say. Judgment day is coming. He said, but on that day, he's saying, look, I've already lit a backfire for you. I've already lit a backfire of my grace. I have burned all the fuel. I have taken all your sins upon me, and God's righteous judgment has already fallen on me. So if you want to stand with me, you can stand right here where all that stuff's been burned away. It's an eternal, safe place to stand. And you can let God have his last say, and it's going to be a beautiful day when you stand there with Jesus. God has already lit in the backfire of his grace through the cross, through the resurrection, so that you have an eternal place to stand in safety, in peace, in love, and in joy. Since all of that is true, you can live fearless lives of faith in Jesus each and every day, not just for yourself, but for others. Why? Because he's going to have the last say in your life, and that's a very good thing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Good to be with you. Amen.
We join together in confessing our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,